Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to thank all my listeners from last week. We broke a record. That was the most that anyone has ever listened to my show. And I really, really appreciate it because we're getting the message across to the people, which is the most important thing. It's all about the people. It's not about Reverend Edward Pinckney. No, it's all about the people. And I want to thank my TI family. I want to thank them for all they do. And I want to thank them for being out there at this time, because this is a crucial time in our life that we are going to have to take a stand. But I want to talk about the coronavirus, COVID-19. It has now entered the prison system and is killing people at an alarming rate. And the problem is, they're not telling people. I get a call every Sunday night with an update on how many people have died, how many people have the virus, and in Coldwater, Michigan, right now, there are over 800 prisoners with the virus. The last count they put in the newspaper was 759 and 12 deaths. Now it's 800 people with that virus, and it's over 15 people who have died. But the saddest part was a man by the name of Mr. Harris. He was from Benton Harbor, Michigan. He died. And the family could not go in to see him before he died. They could not go in to see him after he died. They would not allow him to see the body. And the prison said this, that they could not bury their uncle, their father, their brother. He would have to be buried on prison property. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. I have never heard of that before. Anytime a person dies, your family members should be able to give him a proper burial. But reason unknown, the Michigan Department of Corrections told his family that they could not have the body. He said, you can't. Matter of fact, they couldn't even pay to cremate the body. The man was 70 years old. But they said he could not take the body. You could not have a proper burial for this young man, nor can you review the body to make sure it was him who died. All of these answers was no. Every last one of these answers was no. I called myself to try to get an explanation on why the family could not have a proper burial for their loved one. They had no rule. There's no law that says they can't do it. They did it because they wanted to do it and could get away with it. They got all kind of rules now because it's coronavirus. COVID-19, as they call it. And I believe they already had a vaccine for this. But the problem is, everybody is expendable, whether you like it or not. Every single person is expendable. Anytime the prison system tells you that you cannot bury your loved one, there's a problem, a major problem that we need to look into. We need to understand how important this thing is. It's crucial. Because what's next? What's next? If we allow these people to get away with this, you know, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with what they said. I'm not satisfied with what they're doing. I'm not satisfied with them allowing these guys in prison to die like this. Can you imagine if it's 800 people in one prison? We're not talking about Jackson. We're not talking about Parnell. We're not talking about Marquette. We're talking about one prison, Coldwater, Michigan, correctional facility, where there's over 800 people have tested positive. I would imagine over 100 people are going to die, at least. That's the minimum. Now, everybody who get this virus don't die. You can look at the numbers. Almost 200 people have contracted this virus all over the world. And maybe 200,000 have died. You know, so everybody don't die from it. But the point is, why should anybody have to die from it? That's my thing. Why should you have to die? Why? All you're doing is making the pharmaceutical companies, they're getting ready to come up with a vaccine for everybody to take. So you don't be afraid to die. Amazing. Anyway, let me talk about my good friend Jessica Gray. She has yet to be found. She's been missing since December 1st. We believe that she was shot and killed by Willie Lark Jr. We believe that the Benton Township Police Department somehow is working with this man to conceal the fact, this young lady. Benton Township Police Department got to be the worst police department in the whole wide world. They got one of the most racist cops supposed to be investigated, Van Dover or something. He's married to one of the judges at the courthouse. He is a known racist. He just didn't get to be a racist. He's been a racist all his life. But we are still looking for Jennifer Gray. I wish that we could come up with her. I don't believe she's still alive. I do believe that she's deceased. All the blood that was found in front of the house, all the blood that was found in the house, and all the blood that was found in the automobile that Willie Lark Jr. was driving. Yin Steele, Benton Township, have refused to make any arrests. Have made no attempt to question this guy to find out where the body is. But that's the way it is. When you're black, you don't care. I'm surprised the FBI didn't want to come in because he allegedly went across state line. We don't know whether he went across state line with the body. We don't know that. Only thing we know that Jennifer Gray has not been seen since December 1st, 2019. At the last house she was at, there was a puddle of blood, more than one can ever imagine. Not only on the outside of the house, but also on the inside of the house. So she may have been shot inside the house. There was also four rounds found, four cartridges from a pistol was found, and plus, in this car, particular car, blood was found inside the body. I mean, inside the car. So we know that she's no longer living. But on that note, I want to bring in my good friend from California, one of the guys who actually know one of the leaders of my target individuals. He's just there. He's just a very knowledgeable young man, and I want him to talk about some of the things that is going on, because I have been receiving little notes from people through the chat room. People want to know certain things, but he's going to start it off, and we're going to let him start, and then we'll take it from there. Derek, are you there? Talk to me.
Oh, hey, Reverend Pinkney. Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing
thanks
today?
Great. Great. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Staying safe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty safe here.
All right. All right. Well, that's the most important thing, because this coronavirus is a monster. Now, I want people to know it's for real, you know. And it's killing folks left and right. Here in the United States alone, we already over 67,000 people have died from it. That's a lot of folks. And one of the things I was talking about earlier, how it had hit Coldwater, Michigan, correctional facility, where over 800 people has been tested positive for it. They claim only 15 people have died from it. I'm supposed to be getting a call later on today and to give me a heads up on how many people actually have died from it. I believe there's a lot more. A little 23-year-old kid, he was he contracted it, and he died instantly. But I didn't have you on to talk about the coronavirus. I had you to talk about my favorite group of people. Talk to me about my people, my target individuals.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Reverend Pinkney. And I just want to say that the coronavirus affects us, it affects everybody, and it's impacted our community. And we had a good discussion last night about the coronavirus and the implications and so forth. There's a variety of opinions about how the United States will come through this. I feel like that we will. And I feel like there was some mischief involved in this. However, I believe that ultimately good will prevail in this situation.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So y'all had a pretty good discussion about it, huh?
We discussed the pros and the cons of our situation in regards to the coronavirus. Some people felt that our society was heading downhill. I was of the opinion that even though these were challenging times, but that the United States has enough resources that we could pull it together again. I feel like that when we do come back together, when the society does reopen again, I think it will be a better society after this particular situation. So I think I think we're learning some things about our society as we go. I think that people are learning to help each other in this particular situation, is what I have been seeing. People coming together to share resources. And I think that's really what's going to take to survive this virus and the situations that it brings upon people, especially people that have lost their jobs, people that may become homeless, and so forth. It's going to require people to come together to help each other. I think that we will rise to the occasion, personally.
Oh, absolutely. I think we will. I think this just might bring people together who've never been together. That's how I see it. I think people are now seeing the full effects of it. And I just hope that the people take this thing serious, how a virus like this could shut down a whole country, you know, and this is for real. This is, you know, no hoax or anything like this. This is the real deal. It shows what a chemical weapon or something like a virus can do to a whole country. You see, that's what I see. I see that, you know, let's say if somebody actually wanted to attack the United States or something like that, or the United States wanted to attack another country, they can use a virus and go in there and shut it down. That's what I see. And this is what I actually learned from this. But enough of that. Let's get down to business. Let's talk about and let me say this too. I want to thank the TI World for the ratings that, you know, that I have received. Is but basically because of the TI family and stuff like that. You're coming on saying stuff that people have not heard. They're not used to hearing people talk about stuff like this. And I tell you, we had one of the largest audience probably, maybe even on Blog Talk last week. And I don't know what we're going to duplicate this week, but I won't know until Wednesday or Thursday everything. But it's I think that we, you know, that you get a remarkable, and you got people listening. See, to me, that's the number one thing. You know, regardless what it said, you got people listening. So listen, talk to me. Tell me what you want me to know today.
Okay, I do have a few things I'd like to mention today, Reverend Pinckney, some things that have occurred since the last time I have been here. And for those that are not familiar with me, my name is Derek Robinson. I'm president of PAX International, which stands for People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance International. And our mission is to assist and support targeted individuals worldwide in a variety of ways, mostly through advocacy, raising public awareness, and networking. And the issues that we deal with generally are organized stalking, which is stalking and harassment activity by a group which is targeting a particular individual, or electronic harassment, which has to do with the targeting of individuals with directed energy weapons or microwave weapons. And these are similar to those utilized on the U.S. diplomats to Cuba and China recently. And as I mentioned, there's a couple of things that have happened that I'd like to mention since the last time I was here. And one of those things is that we have now launched our PAX International TV channel on YouTube. And our first episode aired last month in April. We also have a quarterly magazine, which started in the summer of 2018, and we're now up to our sixth issue. And one of the most important developments in our community's history has happened since the last time I was here, and it has to do with the start of our coordinating our activism with the United Nations. And this began with United Nations Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, and Degrading Punishment or Treatment. His name is Nils Melzer, and his interest was in the case of Julian Assange. Now, some of you may know, Julian is a political prisoner, and he is in Great Britain, and he is the founder and publisher of WikiLeaks, which is an internet site that publishes classified government documents. They have published things such as the contents of Sarah Palin's Yahoo account, the Bilderberg Group meeting reports, and State Department diplomatic cable releases. However, the most controversial material that they have released were a series of hundreds of thousands of classified United States government documents provided to them by whistleblower Chelsea Manning pertaining to Guantanamo Bay, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And the most graphic of these documents was a video that was released showing an American helicopter crew firing upon and killing about a dozen innocent civilians and reporters during an insurgency in Baghdad, Iraq. And this disturbing video was captured worldwide, has captured worldwide attention and criticism of the United States. And it was sometime after that revelation that Julian Assange was detained in Britain and faced extradition to Sweden on charges of sexual assault. And after his release on bail, he then sought political asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he remained there for 7 years until Ecuador decided to revoke his asylum in April of 2019, last year. And then on May 1st of last year, British authorities arrested Assange at the embassy, and he was then sentenced to 50 weeks in Belmarsh prison in England for violating bail and seeking asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy. He has since served out that sentence. However, he is still imprisoned and awaiting extradition to the United States, where he is being charged under U.S. law in violation of the Espionage Act for WikiLeaks publication of classified material, charges which could keep him imprisoned for up to 175 years. On May 9th of last year, the United Nations Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, Mr. Nils Meltzer, accompanied by a team of medical experts specialized in examining potential victims of torture and other ill treatment, visited Assange in prison and declared that Mr. Assange had been deliberately exposed for a period of several years to progressively severe forms of cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment, the cumulative effects of which can only be described as psychological torture. Mr. Meltzer then urged the British government to not extradite Julian to the United States, where his human rights would be further violated, and to take measures to provide him with appropriate redress and rehabilitation for past harm. Now, this is where we come into the picture. Then Mr. Meltzer goes one step further and sends a questionnaire form to the world community via his UN website, requesting information from UN member states, UN agencies, civil society, and academia about psychological torture or no-touch torture, as he apparently felt there were many other instances of psychological torture occurring around the globe that he should also look into. This request prompted our community to respond, and dozens of accounts of psychological or no-touch torture from TIs were then emailed to the Rapporteur's office. And on February the 29th, the Rapporteur gave a report to the United Nations Human Rights Council session in Geneva, Switzerland, about psychological torture, which was well received. And thanks to one of our community members who has a 25-year employment history with the United Nations, in liaison with our colleagues in the community in Europe, we were able to obtain entry to the Human Rights Council session in February and arrange for a private meeting with the United Nations Rapporteur on Torture. And it turns out Mr. Meltzer had received our reports that we sent him and had been briefed about our situation. So he was well aware of our circumstances when he finally met with our colleagues in Geneva. The Rapporteur is completely in support of us and our cause, and in discussions with the head of the United Nations Human Rights Council and the UN Secretary General, who have expressed their support of his efforts, he plans to issue a series of reports about this phenomena, which he, in consultation with his team of technology experts, has now termed cyber torture. Cyber having to do with the interrelationship of computers to living organisms and the torture that can be caused by the abuse of these technologies. So at this time, we are looking forward to working with the United Nations and the UN Rapporteur on Torture in the coming days as he and they begin to investigate and address our issues, now known as cyber torture. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for allowing me to share.
Hey, very good, very good. So now it's called cyber torture? Is that what is the name that the T.I. family would like to be called now, rather than calling them T.I.s? They we know it's called cyber torture. That's when they are tortured. Mm-hmm. But is there another name that they go by? Since I know you're international and you know all this information, tell me mm-hmm. so I don't keep getting it wrong. Because I always, for the last 10 years, I think I have been calling my T.I. family. I call them my T.I. family. I'm going to still call them my T.I. family, but I'm going to call them whatever name that they like to go by now rather than a target individual. I think they don't like that name anymore. That's mm-hmm. my belief now. But I know that that cyber torture, it sounds better. It tells us a story more than anything else, because now everything is about cyber and stuff like that. So maybe you can help me. Tell me the name that they like to be called now rather than target individuals.
Okay, target individuals, that term has not changed. What okay. has been now brought into our literature is what the phenomena is now to be called, and that is cyber torture. So that rather than using organized stalking, electronic harassment, it'll all be combined into one term, cyber torture, which would include the electronics aspect of the targeting as well as the organized stalking, because we realize that that they use computers to track and target individuals. They also use the computers to inflict the torture. So it's convenient. It's all combined into one term.
Okay. Here's the last question I'm going to ask you, because I think this is important. This young lady, she lives on the 22nd floor of this apartment building. And she says that she's been tortured from the outside, and she's on the 22nd floor. How is that possible?
If she's being tortured by satellite, it doesn't matter where she's located, they can find her.
Okay.
So we believe that some of this targeting is satellite driven. So yeah, they can find her wherever she is on the planet.
And they can also attack her no matter where she is or what floor she is or something like that, because now they can do it by satellite. They don't, you don't have to be like following you, being behind you. Like before, they used to have some kind of machine that could pick you up. Now they can they're doing it by satellite. And maybe mm-hmm. that's also what happened to the people in Cuba that was attacked by this. Right. They did it by satellite rather than anything else.
Well, we believe that they were targeted by directed energy weapons, and that basically was conveyed in a press conference by their examining physician, and that was Dr. Michael Hoffer at the University mm-hmm. of Miami. He did confirm during this press conference that the U.S. diplomats to Cuba were victims of directed energy weapons or microwave weapons. That was his opinion.
Okay. So if she was to ask me how did they do it, I simply would tell her they're doing it by satellite. Would that be a correct answer?
That is possible. I believe that there are a variety of formats that they use. Along with satellites, there are ground stations that they use. Sometimes it's handheld devices that are utilized. There are people that report being attacked riding along the highway, and people holding handheld devices and pointing them at them while they're driving. So there's a variety of methods that are being employed.
That's interesting, because I'm more accustomed to like the handheld device that they would use rather than them trying to get you by satellite. I know when I was on the house arrest, they monitor me by satellite. If I would have, matter of fact, all over my house, they could tell where I was at. No matter if I was in bed, they could tell. If I was in the shower, they could tell exactly where I was at. Or if I'm looking out the window in the front room, they would have a diagram or tell me what I did during that period of time, which was really amazing to me because I wasn't shocked because I know that they can do a lot of stuff with what you know with what they work with. But when they told me, they actually told me that, you know, at so-and-so time you was here, you were right here in my own house, and it threw me for a loop. And that's when they told me they would monitor me by satellite. That's how they was able to do that and monitor me the way I was. And pretty well knew how much, when I was on the computer, when I was not on the computer, when I was eating and when I was not eating, when I went to the bathroom, they knew that too. You know, all kind of stuff that they can do with that satellite. And once they target you or get in on you, they know exactly what to do. But that is truly amazing. Well, Derek, I really want to thank you. You are such a scholar when it comes to dealing with this stuff that I love to have you on the show. And you give me validity when you come on. You see, that's one of the reasons why I like you to come on. When you say something, you can almost take it to the bank. We know that it's going to be accurate. We know it's going to be truthful. And we know that it's going to do what you say it's going to do. But I want to thank you so much. And you tell my TI families to hang in there and tell them we're going to do something. And we're going to keep it going because people are beginning to listen. People want to know. And we're going to make sure that they do know. But listen, you have a great day and stay safe and stay focused. That's the most important thing. And let's talk during the week because I do have something I do want to run past you. Let's talk real soon.
Okay, great. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, take care of yourself, Derek. Thank you so much for coming on. And that was my good friend Derek from sunny California. And now I'm going to bring in my good friend Gloria from you-know-where, Philadelphia. Talk to me, Gloria. Are you there? Talk to me, Gloria. You're not there.
Hello?
Yes, Gloria. Oh, I thought somebody had kidnapped and holding you for ransom. I'm here. Can you hear me, Gloria?
I'm here.
All right. How you
I'm
feeling
here.
Today? You
I'm
staying
good.
Safe? Well, that's
yes.
what I want to hear. Yes, yes. I don't see Amy on the line. But what you talk to me. Tell me what you want us to know. I got my good friend Belinda Parker Brown coming in, and I got my good friend Lee from Detroit coming in. So talk to me. Tell me what you want me to know.
All right, Reverend Pinkney, here it goes. I hope people have a pencil and piece of paper. Because what I say, I'd like them to go back and look it up, and I'm going to tell you where to go find it. Amy, this is really an introduction to Amy Anderson that is supposed to speak after me. To me, this is to me, my opinion, Amy is an expert. Reverend Pinkney, when I was first pulled into this program, you are like
you know. There's an echo in your sound.
Let me see. Hello.
Go ahead. Yes, I'm here.
All right.
I'm here.
Okay. So you just didn't know what to believe. What was happening? You were petrified. And I'm always a person. I'm the leader. I did what I had to do. I raised my two children with daddy's help, and I was in there. You know, I had my own business. I had it going on, and then boom. And you're like, what's going on? I mean, the first thing you call the police, they don't help you. They look at you, they laugh. You're locked up into a mental institution. For what? What's going on? So I was going, and when, at the time, it was freedom from covert harassment and surveillance under Derek Robinson. And it was through that group that I met Amy Anderson. And one day she called me out of the clear blue sky and said to me, what are you experiencing? After she asked me how tall I was, was I light-skinned, dark-skinned, did I wear glasses, what was my hair like? You know, she asked me everything about me. And she said, "You always sound very kind on the telephone." And
hey,
I'd like
to
pass this
on. Are you on a speakerphone or a regular phone?
No, I'm not.
Oh, because you got there's an echo sound in there.
Reverend Pinkney, they've been hacking my phone all day.
Now you sound better. All right, let's do it.
Okay. So Amy said to me, I said, everywhere I go, when they put their hands in their pocket, I get an electronic hit to my head. And, you know, it's frightening because everywhere you go, you're looking to see who's doing what. You're going mad. And she said to me, she said, no. She said, that's not what's happening. I said, well, what is it? She said, it's a satellite. I'm like, what? And that, she's the one that got me into researching. So I started looking up satellites. What are they about? What do they do? And then I also got the book by Dr. I forget his name. I just drew a blank, but it'll come to me. And he came and said that there's a new breed satellite terrorism in America. Dr. John Hall from San Antonio, Texas. So as I went on, we're still, you know, how's this happening? And Amy kept saying, this is what it was. But during this time, no one would listen to Amy because she was, like she was angry and rude and, yeah. And they were like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And so when she called me, like when she reached out to me, and I told her, I said, well, just settle down and tell me what I need to know. She would have me take notes. I would go look it up. We didn't realize that it was no one sticking their hand in their pocket and causing this. I was able to turn that corner. I was like, oh, okay. That took some heat off of me. I stopped looking for it. And then I was able to move on. And at this time in my life, I'm still targeted, but I'm not receiving electronic harassment. Okay? Praises to the Creator. So Amy then told me this guy, Jonah R. Mantranga. She's been saying that name for years. And the reason people couldn't understand her or wouldn't understand her and who this man is, because the technology had a way of making her sound angry, making her voice come out like that. It's called forced speech. It makes you gruff and short-patient, and you're talking over people. So it had gotten to the place that I think Amy got off of calls because it was very frustrating for her. She said nobody wanted to hear. I said, well, no one understands it. So I kept continued to listen to her. And she would call me when she got a discovery. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I get a call. I reached her. Hello. Glow, listen to this. Why? And she would give me information, so you start looking. All right. In the process of that, I came across, she told me that it's this entertainer, this one, that one. All right. So you start looking things up. I came across Hollywood, the dark celebrity cult. Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. There is always more to the story. It is time to call people back. You are being led down a path towards something you are conditioned to not see coming, such as this virus and everything. And if you pay attention, Hollywood is so involved with entertaining us during the time because we're all in it together. I feel this is another form of mind control. The television, it's tell live vision or tell a lie to your vision. They are programming. This is what the program, when they said everything is done right in your face. But if you're not awake to this, you don't know. You don't know. And it was through Amy I was able to really wake up and see the madness. This woman has gone on and found files. I read a file the other day. I read it. Mariah Carey, Naomi Campbell, and I believe it was another pair, Katy Perry, all went out to lunch. The only one missing was human subject 2269, Amy Anderson. That's her birthday. February 2nd. Yes. When she started pulling this out, Amy started finding files. Different people have been hacking her. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming what we are going through and who is involved in this. It's a dark celebrity cult. The Hollywood, this whole thing, they come from Druids, from Europe. The priests, they ran everything. Hollywood, you have a director, you have a producer, you have an actor. They're bringing their emotions. They're showing you. Oh, come on. We're being at the form of mind control from very, very little to now. When you look back, cartoons they used to show us. Everything they showed us from Africa, they had a white missionary in the pot, and we was dancing around with our grass skirts and bones through our noses. What the heck? But this is all going in our little minds. Okay? So that's when they say nothing in this world works the way you think it does. They never lied. And someone else you can look up is Jordan Maxwell. He has information on this.
Very good.
So, we just have to pay attention. And watch another thing. Listen to what people are saying. Start picking things apart. Don't believe everything you hear. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Investigate first. Investigate.
Absolutely. That's a good statement, too, because especially nowadays, everything is designed. It's not what it seemed to be, regardless what it is. Even this virus. It's not, I'm taking this serious, but it's not what people think it is. It's more deadly than people ever would imagine. And not just killing people, but it's, the after effect, what happened next after this. This is what got me kind of puzzled and dealing with. So I try to think about it more logically and try to figure out where they're going next with this. See, that's what I'm on. I want to know where they're going next. That's what I want to know. And I think whatever's going to be next is going to be devastating. So, like you said, we can't believe everything, but we're going to believe something because we're going to be able to verify it some kind of way. Listen, on that note, Gloria, Amy is not available, but she's probably going to need a lot of time. And we don't have a whole lot of time right now, but tell her, ask her why didn't she call in. But we'll take it to the next level. And, Gloria, I just want to thank you so much for clearing that up. And let's take it to the next level next week. Talk to you soon.
All right. Peace.
All right, now. That was my good friend, Gloria. I'm going to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Pinckney.
Hey, hello? How you feeling today? Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Ooh, Pastor Pinckney, I'm here to tell you, it's rough. I ain't never, ever seen nothing like what we're going through right now in this country, Pastor Pinckney, but I do know that you did warn people ahead of time about this was coming. And I believe that it's a possibility, Pastor Pinckney, that it just may get worse.
Yeah. Oh, it will get worse. It's going to get worse because the people that's in control, they may not never ever be affected by this. It's the common people who's going to be affected by this more than anything else. So we got to get ourselves prepared for whatever happening next. We don't know. I believe it's going to be devastating, but we better be ready.
Yes, indeed. And well, I know, you know, how much I appreciate, you know, you and, you know, your show and letting the people be able to have their voices heard about, you know, what we're dealing with. Pastor Pinckney, is so important right now to educate people and inform them. And then it's going to be up to them to make the decision whether or not they're going to listen, to act, and unite, because that's what you was basically telling us all along, that we have to come together. We got to come together, and we can't wait until something happened to us, or, you know, it's all about me, my foe, and what's in it for me, and look what they doing to me, and, you know, I want, you know, somebody to do something about what they doing to me and all that kind of stuff. It's time out for that, Pastor Pinckney. We got to unite on this. We got to come together. We got to organize. We got to mobilize. We got to prepare ourselves to get ready for what these people are doing to us. And it's all about, you know, it's them against us. And you have always said that.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. And that is, how's that prison down there? How's that?
Well, that's why I'm saying I want to thank you for that. Allowing me to say, because if, you know, my main position right now is to unite my people for us to come together and that we can all stick together on this number one issue with, our unanimous is not enough, and bring as many of our loved ones out of these hellhole prisons and jail as we possibly can. And we're on the way of doing that, but we need our numbers to get up. We need more support. We need people across the country standing with us and supporting this movement to get the release of thousands of prisoners that were wrongfully incarcerated here in the state of Louisiana under a Jim Crow, a racist Jim Crow unconstitutional statute that was put in the Louisiana Constitution, Pastor Pinckney. And what we're saying is that these people are being kidnapped. They're being held hostage. We have filed over 900 1983 lawsuits in the Louisiana Supreme Court, and we're crying out for these people's voices to be heard, that they want to, you know, to be free. And we can do it.
Absolutely.
That's the key thing. We can do it. We can actually, this is something that we can all do. And the only thing right now is that we need people to unite with us, support us, you know, help us raise money so that we can be able to, we're going to list all the things on our website, what the money is for. This is not for us. This is not for the individuals. But we do have to approach the court and put our motions and things into the court in regards to how, you know, they're doing these people wrong, and we're going to call them, like you say, Pastor Pinckney, we're going to call them out on it, and then we're going to hold them accountable, and then if they still don't do what they're supposed to do, then the power is with the people, okay? We're going to shut it down, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm telling you, we can do it. We can do it, and it's unrefutable, it's undeniable that what they're doing is wrong, and we want the whole world to know about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how's your daughter doing?
You know, Pastor Pinckney, I did get some bad news about my daughter, and I wanted to talk to you about that offline because she's there in Michigan with you. Well, she didn't make it, Pastor Pinckney. She did not make it. So you know, we're taking that really hard, and her husband is in the hospital right now fighting for his life. And, you know, we just heard today that the doctor said that the medication that they're giving him right now, apparently, you know, he may pull through, but we're still not sure. So, you know, we're really, you know, they're not releasing. She died from the COVID-19. You know, he went to the hospital first, and then she was left at home. And then by the time she got to the hospital, it was too late.
Wow. Absolutely. I heard about Corey and
you know,
and
the family.
Her.
You know the family real
right.
well
family.
On her husband's side, the Robinsons, the McCoys, and the Hamptons.
Hampton, yeah. Hara Hampton, Corey, his son, right.
Yeah, Corey is his son.
Right, right. No wonder. You know, I got the word about her dying, and but still, look, a lot of times people don't take this stuff serious. This is young folks, cause
right.
they still congregating, they still out here trying to do no man.
Right.
I'm going to be passing out masks.
And they're not
to,
listening because, you know, it's my understanding that they were still having church services. You know, Corey, by him being the director of the choir. In the music ministry, music, you know, it was, you know, my understanding, you know, Pastor Pinckney, but still, you know, they're not taking it serious. People joking and making fun, you know, don't let the corona get on you, you know, you know, all that kind of stuff, and they don't realize that this stuff is deadly. You know, people die quick, they die fast. You know, I didn't even get the chance. You know, I had talked to my daughter 2 days before, you know, and then the next day I get the call that she had passed away.
Wow, wow. Yeah, but I remember.
You know, I was telling her to get up out the bed. Don't just lay in the bed. You know, get up,
right.
prop yourself up. Uh-huh. You know, I was trying to tell her to, you know, to start, you know, endorsing all types of fluid, you know, vitamin C and stuff like that to try to, you know.
A lot of times, that's what my daughter, she had all those symptoms of it. And I know the young folks, they're hard-headed. They don't tell, but she went to work. She took care of herself. She started taking vitamin C, D, and some zinc and some ginger and all this. Then she finally got her one of them vaporizers. Another thing, when they get it, put that Vicks vapor rub on their chest. Rub that baby in there. You got to take care of your body. You got to be strong because this thing is eating people up.
Well, right now, she left behind, you know, three college students, and they're all going to be going in to be tested and probably going to, you know, be put in quarantine, which I'm hoping that, you know, I know that they're going to listen now because there's no reason why they shouldn't, Pastor Pinckney,
absolutely.
But you're right. The
absolutely.
Young people, they're not really taking it serious enough, and they're
– oh.
They're just going on trying to have their parties and socializing
right.
with their friends and all that kind of stuff, and they don't realize that they're putting other, you know, their other family members, elderly family members, in danger.
Right.
You know, and this
and
is, you know, I'm not
care.
my kids is not ain't nothing coming out and ain't nothing going in my house. Okay, period.
Amen.
Okay,
right.
and if you leave out of here, you ain't coming back in. That's all I got to say.
Amen. I like that. Well, listen, I got to let you go, but also tell the kids, these young folks out here, there's no such thing as pass the blunt no more. So let that go, and let's continue to stay focused. Let's do what we need to do and try to keep everybody safe as possible and deal with that. On that note, Belinda Pastor Brown, I gotta let you go.
All right. I hope
now.
You have time to have Lee on because I'm gonna be reaching out to him, Pastor Pinckney. Thank you.
All right now. My girl, Belinda Parker Brown. I tell you that coronavirus is serious. Those of you who are out here who don't think it's serious, you're wrong. I don't know whether it's man made, I don't know who made it. I don't know whether the Chinese made it or your own United States government made it. But I wouldn't put nothing past this this government. I wouldn't put nothing past them at all. And right now they're working on a vaccine that's going to cost them $1 trillion. That's right. That vaccine they come up with because people all over the world will have to be vaccinated, according to them. On that note, let me bring in my good friend Lee. Talk to me, Lee.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Pigney?
And I'm doing great, Lee. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to stay safe. That's the most important thing. I hope you're doing the same thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I boil ginger just about like every other day. I make me about a gallon of it.
Yeah.
And I drink the ginger water. You know, I boil it until it turns brown. And even when I pour it into the glass pitcher, I make sure that I still put the ginger in there.
Absolutely.
And this is madness, you know. I'm sorry to hear Sister Belinda Parker Brown's situation. I'm very sorry about that. And it's madness, you know. I mean, this whole thing right now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm noticing that the news media, even just reporting the death. I mean, my personal opinion, this was part of their plan to go ahead and lower this global population.
They say it's a plandemic. That's all. Plan, P-L-A-N. Plandemic. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. They planned this, and now they're executing their plan, and then now got people scared to death. And that's the whole thing. You got other people out here carrying weapons around, carrying them on their shoulder, AK-47s, and doing all these things. And again, you got people playing. Don't play with this stuff. This stuff is real. So get yourself ready, mentally, morally, socially.
Well,
absolutely.
You know,
so talk to
remember,
me. Tell me what you want me to tell.
Well, you know, if you think about a year or two back, I think it was, you know, our president, he actually did say, had a meeting with a bunch of people and said it was the calm before the storm. And when the when the media people reached out, it was like, what calm before what storm? You know, he never gave a answer to that. And I was just going back looking at that clip like, is this what he was talking about? You know, I don't know. But I just look at everything for what it is now. You know, I try to watch everything, you know, especially even whether it's my situation, your situation, anybody's situation, you know. It's you got to pay attention to it, you know. It's kind of like the one of the words that Desmond Tutu said, you know, if you choose to be neutral if you choose to be neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor.
That's
so,
right. Absolutely.
With that, you know, I just pay attention to everything. You know, it don't matter if it's this country, that country, whatever. I always been because you know anything they practice other places before they actually bring it to us.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
You gotta pay attention to a lot of things. And I mean, I noticed they got the court system all jacked up. Of course I ain't heard nothing on my situation yet.
Right.
So I'm looking at everything like, is this a way for them to buy some time, figure out, y'all got to come up with a better way to set this guy up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I know they're still trying it.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. They're sitting back. They're trying to figure out what can we do to stop him. So it's a bunch of madness, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's all part of it. All you do is just be ready. Don't get too relaxed with them.
I don't ever stay relaxed.
I just said don't let them catch you with your drawers down. That's the main thing.
And see, I know that's what their plan is. How can we catch him like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, hey,
absolutely.
I go to work every day. You know, it's like, okay, if I don't like one job, I guess it kind of shocked them because they'd be like, well, you're still working? I was like, yeah, that job I didn't like it, so I started working here. oh, you're pretty, you know, you're pretty good with finding jobs, I see. I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, will you go ahead and put yourself in a position to qualify yourself for certain things? Of course it's going to be easy. And I say, I don't look at anything as being difficult, you know. It's like the old saying, go, chances make champions. And
amen.
I'm going to keep on being the chance taker, you know. But, yeah, I know they're still sitting back. They're plotting it, get everything out. You know what's so crazy? I found out that they actually found some more people that literally get to the point of following me around because some of the things that I got to realizing that was brought up to me, like, hey, are you still doing this? Are you still living here? And then I got to just researching some of these people, looking up their address. I'm like, oh, wow, it was funny that this person was living right around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably how they, like, oh, move over here, get close to him so you can keep an eye on him type thing. Maybe we could figure out a way to get him. Because
absolutely.
They know they don't. So it's amazing, you know. I look at it as with humor, but yet with cautious as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because,
right on,
like, I know
right
y'all
on.
Playing.
Yeah, you said it. Right on with the right on. Well, listen, Leon, we done ran out of time. But next week, just keep yourself focused and safe. That's the number one thing. And take this thing serious. Because regardless what it is, it's out here. It's out here, and we don't want to walk into it and end up like so many other people, especially older people. Older people, be aware. So listen, Lee, next week, same time, same station. Let's talk.
Yes, sir.
And let's see if you can, and keep yourself prepared because these folks is coming. Lee, you got anything you want to say in closing remarks? Because I can give you 30 seconds before we got to say goodnight to everybody.
Well, just everybody be safe. Be safe.
That's it.
And be aware.
All right now.
You know,
we will talk very soon.